Now, if you will, open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We will be reading together from 1 Peter chapter 1, the first 9 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. To the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know what Peter is describing here in this passage of Scripture? Is one of many blessings that we have because we have been chosen by God as part of his family. And Peter here is talking about a very special kind of joy that we can have as children of God. You know, we sing the song, Joy to the World, and normally we only sing it about this time of the year during the Christmas season. But being joyous is something that we should practice every day of our lives, because we have joy given to us from God. The blessings that he blesses us with gives us, as Peter called it, joy inexpressible. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, joy inexpressible. Christians are able to greatly rejoice because of the blessings that we receive. You know, the Greek word for joy, as used in verse 6 of our text, is the Greek word agaleo, which simply means to leap for joy. Now, we have examples in the Bible where people leaped for joy. We find Moses' wife leaping for joy on one occasion. We find John the Baptist in his mother's womb leaping for joy. And this is what this is talking about, because of something that God is in the process of, that he has done for us or that he is doing for us. And as Christians, we can have that leaping for joy attitude because of the blessings of God, that our joy is inexpressible and full of glory. A joy that is so great, a joy that is so glorious, that is literally impossible for us to express with words. And I know that we have all probably experienced times when we were so excited about something, that we were so happy about something, that we just really couldn't express it. It was just a feeling that has overcome us, that gave us a wonderful feeling that we could not explain verbally. And this is the kind of joy that God gives to us that is so great that words just will not tell how we feel or how happy we are because of what God has done for us. So tonight, I want us to focus our attentions on Peter's words, expressible joy, or inexpressible joy, that each one of us as children of God need to have in our lives. First of all, I want to talk about the basis of our joy that is inexpressible. In verse 6, Peter begins by saying, in this you greatly rejoice. Now, there are several things that are taking place here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, when he makes this statement, he is talking about things that have happened in our past that should make us be joyous, overjoyous in our lives. It means that in chapter 1 and verse 2, that we have been set apart. Did you ever stop to think that we as God's children have been set apart for a special purpose? We have a special goal. We have a special obligation. We have a responsibility to share the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been set apart to do the work that the Holy Spirit has given us to do through the Word of God. And then Peter says that we have been sprinkled. We have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ. Now, what does that mean? Because we have been sprinkled by the word, by the blood of Christ, we have had our sins forgiven. They no longer exist, and we can move forward whole and pure and clean because of the blood of Christ. And then in verse 3, Peter says, we've been actually born again. Born again to a living hope. And that alone should make us joyous in the fact that because of the love of God and because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we can rejoice because our sins are gone and we have hope of a better life. Now, this passage is also telling us that there are reasons now, present reasons, for us to rejoice as well. And again, verse 2, it says, we are God's elect. We have been chosen by God. Because we have listened to His word, because we have obeyed His word, because we have obeyed the gospel as it has been given to us, because we have put Christianity into our lives, and we are fulfilling our lives every day with His word and working the works that He has us to do, we have been chosen by God. We are a part of Him and a part of His family. Verse 5 tells us that we are kept by the power of God through our faith. That as long as we continue in this, that as long as we work toward this goal, as long as we serve God as best we can, the power of God will keep us and make us a part of Him and His family. And then also this verse tells us that there are future reasons for us to rejoice. He mentions in verse 4 the inheritance. Now, we probably have people in this room who have received inheritances from their family members who have gone on. And there are others of us in this room who are waiting for an inheritance that has been promised to them as time goes by. This is a spiritual inheritance that God has promised to us. If we love Him, and if we keep ourselves in His arms, He has an inheritance for us. And it is something that does not fade away. It does not leave. It does not go bad. It does not corrupt. It is always with us, this inheritance. And then in verse 5 and verse 9, it tells us that because of our Christianity, that we can look forward to our salvation. We talked about salvation this morning and the importance of having salvation from God. And we have that salvation because of our faith, because of our determination, because of our endurance as His children. We can have that salvation. So all of these blessings, past, present, and future, serve as a reason for us to have inexpressible joy. And we can live every day literally leaping for joy, as the Greek word suggests, because of what God has done for us. Now, the question becomes, just how great is this joy? Well, one of the great things about the joy that we have in our Lord is that we can rejoice even when things go wrong in our lives. Now, I know for a fact, I'm talking to a group of people who have had things go wrong in their lives. Every one of us have had problems in life. Maybe experiencing a problem right now, I don't know. But because who we are, and because of who we belong to, that being our Lord and Savior, we can rejoice even when we find trials in life. And it really doesn't matter to what degree of suffering that we may experience. It doesn't matter what we go through in life, how bad it may be. In Christ, there is joy that can match that. Peter explains this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Now, Peter's telling us two or three things here. First of all, he's telling us we're going to have trials of life. Every one of us, regardless of who we are, where we come from, or where we're going, we're all going to experience problems in life. And then he says, don't be surprised about this. Don't think that it's strange that this is happening to you. You know, sometimes whenever we have a difficulty in life, we may think, well, this isn't supposed to happen to me. This is supposed to happen to somebody else. I'm not supposed to have to go through this. Let somebody else go through this. That's not the way it works, folks. We all have to deal with troubles. So don't be surprised at that. Don't think it's strange when these things happen to you, but rather rejoice because Christ went through this. Christ suffered as we suffered. Christ was able to get through the suffering because God was with him. The Father was with him just as he is with us. And when his glory is revealed, we can be glad with exceeding joy. A joy that we can leap about because God has been with us the whole way. And he has saw us through. Well, what kind of trials are you talking about? Well, Peter mentions various trials. That word various means different trials from different areas of life. It primarily probably included those which comes as a result of living for the Lord. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, which was part of the great Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." You know, you may have to go through that. You may have to experience this particular kind of trial because you are a child of God. Because the world out there does not appreciate Christianity. The world out there does not appreciate you because you are a Christian. And there may be suffering involved as a result of it. But blessed are you because you're going through what God's Son went through in this life. And you can overcome just as God's Son overcame. Even when they revile you and even when they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, we can be happy and we can rejoice. We can also rejoice because of everyday afflictions of life. And we've all experienced those: sickness, heartbreak, just frustration when things don't go right in life. Because these are opportunities for our faith to grow, for our love to grow, for our patience to grow. All of these things happen to us for the reason to fine-tune us to be better Christians, stronger Christians, more faithful Christians in God's sight. Now the question is, how can Christians possess this joy? But you know, sometimes it's hard for even the best of us to show joy during hard times. I believe verse 8 gives us two things which we need to have in order to remain with an inexpressible joy. First of all, we must love Jesus. You know, in our text, Peter said, "In whom you have not seen, you love." Who in here has seen Jesus Christ? Probably even the pictures that we have that was painted by Da Vinci and others. That's not what he really looks like. He probably didn't have red hair. We really don't know, do we? We've never seen him. But when I ask you, do you love him? You're going to say, yes, of course we do. Even though we haven't seen him, we love him. You see, Jesus is the ultimate source for our being able to rejoice. We can walk away from the headaches of this life. We can walk away from the troubles. We can walk away from the trials. We can walk away from the difficult responsibilities, knowing that Jesus Christ is walking with us and helping us along the way. And Jesus has promised us that if we truly love Him, that He is going to be with us. And not only He, but the Father is going to be with us. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." Let me ask you tonight, my friends, does the Lord live with you today? Do you find him in your house? Do you find yourself wanting him in your house? If you love him and you keep his word, the Father will be with you and the Son will be with you. In fact, he tells us that if he is with us, that we can receive that joy, that leaping for joy that he is talking about. John 15, verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And all of this comes from loving and keeping the commandments of the one who can give you this joy. Not only that, we must also believe that Jesus is who he is and that Jesus can do all that he has promised to do. Verse 8 of our text, Peter said, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. By believing in Jesus Christ, that gives us the key to have inexpressible joy. But you know, to have this kind of faith that will institute this kind of joy, we have to have more than just a mental asset about the Lord or an academic knowledge about him. This is involving a kind of faith that involves trust. If you have faith in someone, you trust him, don't you? Now, we trust in a lot of things in this life, don't we? We trust in a lot of physical things in this life. When we get into our car to go home and we turn that key or we push that button, we have faith that that car is going to start and take us home. When we get home and we walk into that door, we're going to flip that switch and we have faith that the lights are going to come on and light our way as we go into the house. You know, the only problem with that kind of faith does not always work, does it? Sometimes we get in the car and it doesn't start. Sometimes we walk into the house and flip that switch and the light does not come on. But there's one thing for sure. If we have Jesus Christ in our life, anything that we do will work for our good because God will see to it that it will work for our good. It is a faith that involves trust. We trust that his promises will be fulfilled. Every one of us in this room believes in heaven. Every one of us in this room who are Christians believe that one day we will be with the Savior and we will live with him for all eternity because we are his child. We don't have to question that, do we? It is our promise from God. And we believe that it will be fulfilled. And when we have that kind of trust, when we have that kind of faith, it will prompt us to obey Jesus wholeheartedly. Because that's how we get the results of this promise, by obedience to his word. And it all boils down to his word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. If we put that into our lives, if we live it every day, then we will receive these promises from Jesus Christ. We have a great blessing, folks. We sit here tonight with joy inexpressible. We have a joy that is far greater than anyone can have. A blessing that can sustain us through this life to help us reach the end of our faith, which is, again, our salvation. Peter tells us this, 1 Peter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. But again, it only comes for those who truly love Jesus, who truly believe in Him, and will obey Him. So the question tonight for you is, do you love Jesus? If you do, are you willing to keep His commandments? I ask you tonight, do you believe in Jesus? If you do, you will obey Him and you will give your life to Him. And if you will do this, you will have inexpressible joy. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can walk out of this building with inexpressible joy that can last you for the rest of your life, that can take you into the last, to the next life, that will last for an eternity with God the Father and His Son. If you're unfaithful as a Christian, if you have lost your reason for joy, if you don't have that feeling anymore, if you're not ready to leap anymore, you can get it back by giving your life back to God. We want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you need to respond, please come as we stand and sing.